Welcome to the Mr. Credit Radio Lunch Hour. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Dan Osgood. I am the author of FreeInvestmentAudit.com. And today I'm going to do my very best to do a Trevor Hoffman impression here and fill in for Derek as he's out of town gaining another additional wealth of knowledge, adding to his knowledge base that I am sure he's going to share with everyone when he returns next week. Today I brought in with me a man who probably is the most knowledgeable guy I know when it comes to markets, how they work, global economies, everything together, Steve Vick. Welcome, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Dan. Thanks for having me. We're taking over, are we?
Today's the day, I guess. Maybe a potential preview for the future endeavors?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Looking at the markets today, they are relatively flat, which I guess you'd call that a negative for the way the market's been lately?
Yeah, it does seem that way, although the Dow's still well over 15,000.
Yes, which that kind of brings us to a first topic today. Great article in Forbes magazine I saw today. It written by Michael Kay, who's a financial life planning wealth management person. Great article talking about the Dow 15,000, and it's in the numbers. Does it matter? And one of the best parts of it, it says, what does 15,000 or any other number mean? And goes on and says, it's not the same as needing to change your oil every 75,000 miles or setting the thermometer on your oven to bake bread at 375 degrees or when you turn 65 and become eligible for Medicare. Those are actual numbers that really matter. This is just really touching on the facts. Does 15,000 matter? Does 14,700? These are just numbers. Every time it goes up one point higher, that's an all-time new high.
Right. Well, it's definitely a sales pitch as well, remember? I mean, these guys are trying to sell people to buy stocks and to get into the market and, you know, rally the troops. So get it at 15,000, otherwise you're missing out. It's going to go to 16, it's going to go to 17. And, it's almost like a guy running from, the kick punt returner. Well, the kick returner, he's got 90, 80, 70. If they keep rallying the troops, more and more people pile in. And, I mean, as the numbers are going higher and higher, you can see the frenzy starting to occur. It's not really a frenzy yet, but there's more and more people going into the market. And the market's getting more and more elevated, obviously, but it's also becoming more and more unsustainable. And they've got margin levels on people's accounts. That's where you're borrowing money to go and invest. And the margin levels are back to the highs of the 2007 levels again. So,
Is that not good?
Yeah, having people borrowing money to
more debt, just another way of creating debt.
Exactly right. But once again, it's a low interest rate environment that's sort of fueling this. You've got Soros, George Soros, which I'm sure a lot of the listeners know who he is, one of the world all-time greatest investors, made billions of dollars, and he still thinks the markets will run further because you've got this low interest rate environment. The problem with that is, how do you get out? When do you get out? And he's a master at doing that, and most people aren't. So it's just not
He'll have the ability with his money to get out far in advance of any other warning signs.
Correct. Exactly right. So it's not a model that I would follow personally. And the other thing to think about is that in your comment about the Dow, it's the components. There's only 30 stocks that make up the Dow. And I went back in time and I had a look. Back in March 97, those 30 components were significantly different to the 30 companies that are in there now.
Yeah, it's an ever-changing.
It changes all the time. But if you think back to 97, right, you had Allied Signal, who's no longer there, Eastman Kodak, who's no longer there. Well, Eastman, they're basically bankrupt.
Right.
You've Goodyear's gone, GM's gone. They almost went bankrupt. International Paper, Minnesota Mining, Philip Morris, Sears, they pretty much done, and Union Carbide. And those have now been replaced. I mean, now you've got in the Dow, you've got things like Cisco, you've got Microsoft, you've got Home Depot, you've got Intel, you've got Verizon. So suddenly these are companies that are really producing good returns and good results. So if you'd kept the original Dow components just from 97, the Dow would have an entirely different number to what it has today. And so, I mean, what does the number mean? Back to your comment.
Right. It just looking at an index in general, that's such a 30,000-foot overview that isn't even that accurate because it is such a small sampling of the entire market.
Correct. That's A. And then B, it's also how is it calculated? you know, is it weighted by company size or shares outstanding? I mean, you can go on and on. But it is a number, at least, that you can measure something by. But it's really not something to get really upset about.
Right. Well, we talked about this before. I think there's a good chance there were people sitting on the sidelines that said, well, if it goes up to 15,000, then I'll get in.
Yeah.
And just it's probably much more of a mental, psychologic thing that, ooh, if it goes to this point, for some reason, that's a trigger to some individual, some company, some computer program saying, that's it, we're getting in now, we have to jump on board because it's gotten to this point where it's going to, all bets are off, it's just going to the moon.
Yeah, though, I mean, I wouldn't say don't get in. I would just say if you get in, you better have a decent stop.
Right.
Because what most people do is they get in, and then when it falls down, goes down, they don't know where to get out, or they just buy more.
Right.
And that really hurts, particularly when you borrowed the money to start with.
It'll go back up. there's plenty of cases of people that owned Qualcomm when it split the last time at $200 a share that I'm not sure they're even back to even still that owned it and said, well, it's going to go back up as it slowly dropped and went down and down and down. And that's a difficult thing. That's that emotional aspect of investing that people need to really try not to possess.
Right. And then if you look at just at that example and you take the NASDAQ, I mean, the NASDAQ, what was its all-time high? It was like 5,500 or something like that. And what is the NASDAQ now? It's at 2,400. So, I mean, it's less than half still.
Still 50%.
And that was back in 2000. And if you take another example, would be the Nikkei, which was back in 89. It was at, I think it was 39,000 or 38,000. And it's been rallying like crazy because the Bank of Japan just opened the floodgates and has been printing money as fast, actually almost faster than the Fed, if that's possible. But that market is now rallying like crazy. I think it's up like 20% this year. But that takes it to 14,000. Hmm. I mean, that's a heck of a long way from 39,000.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's 20-odd years ago. And it's never even come close to getting back there again. So if you take 30 stocks in the Dow and you manipulate which stocks are in there, so you've got companies that are performing, then it's not hard to get a Dow of just 30 stocks to exceed the all-time high.
Right.
It doesn't mean that the overall market is doing anything near to as well as that.
There's been many cases where I've seen where the market's either, or the indexes are either down or up, but the overall market was the exact opposite, where I've seen days where the market was up, according to the reports, say 30 points, but if you looked, 80% of all the stocks were down for that same day.
Yeah.
And that could be very misleading and cause bad decision making.
No, without a doubt. That's where you come in.
Yeah, that really emphasizes the importance of having a plan and doing things with a purpose, not just saying, oh, the market's going up, I have to invest in the market. Why do you have to invest in the market, and what's your goal with that money?
And in actual fact, for people out there listening, Dan and I are actually planning on maybe starting a show to try and help people with that, right?
Correct.
The portfolio doctors we're going to be. I've never had a PhD, so that'll be something new for me.
If it's a self-designation or a self-appointed name.
Self or right. That's okay then?
It's okay.
It's like Idi Amin when he was that nutcase president of, I forget where was he, but anyway.
Egypt or?
No, he was, anyway, it doesn't matter, but he appointed himself a field marshal.
Oh,
yes.
Nice.
Idi Amin.
Nice. So there you go. We can do that. There was one other interesting statement that Michael Kay made in his article that, and he emphasizes this, and I want to emphasize this. $1 million is a big number of dollars. So
yeah,
don't take any light on this comment. But I do remember this same thing as well, where he says, I remember growing up hearing, if I had $1 million, I'd retire. And then he even says, well, I'm not going to knock $1 million. But if you are someone who needs $100,000 a year to live, then the million has an approximate lifespan of about 10 years. So that million, as wonderful as it sounds, isn't enough. Unless, of course, you're only going to live 9 years. Then it's a perfect amount of money.
Yeah, or you're going to move to Panama.
Right. You have to really adjust and figure out how you're going to.
And that's where most people are, unfortunately, particularly in this low interest rate environment.
Right.
And I don't know if we want to talk about that now, if we, you know, bring that back next.
Yeah, we'll bring that back in next segment.
Yeah.
We've got a great piece of information on that as well.
All right. But, yeah, I mean, you know, people don't retire on $1 million. I read a statistic. This is going back a few years, so it's probably actually lower now. based on what happened in housing, but the average American was retiring with $200,000 in base retirement platform.
Which actually, and unfortunately, may be higher than
what
people are doing
probably
now.
That's probably a little less.
Right.
But it just, I don't know how they do it. I really, not in California, certainly. Yeah. I mean, maybe Oklahoma or somewhere like that. But
small town in Texas or Iowa.
Yep. Yeah, it's. I mean, because you're going to rely on Social Security, I guess, in that example.
Right.
And really not do a lot of traveling or not go anywhere. So that's one of the other reasons why people just stay working, I think.
Right. Well, nowadays people tend to be healthier in retirement, where
right.
back in a lot of those days you retired and within 5 years most people passed away. The lifespan was so much different. So
yeah. Yeah.
There are a lot of variables, but that again encourages the reason of why you want to create a plan, figure out what your goals are, why you want to have a strategy for, okay, I'm going to retire at this age and I'm going to retire to Iowa, or I'm going to retire to Arizona or California.
Now, a reason, or is that the sales pitch behind an annuity sale?
It can be.
And I mean, that can sometimes also be misleading, right? Annuity in that situation.
Yes, and we've talked about annuities, Derek and I, a number of times on the show. I'm a proponent of them, but only in the right situation.
Right.
It's not – there are a lot of guys out there that are selling them as this will fix all your problems, this will take care of everything.
Well, that's what I'm sort of – that's where I'm going
right.
with it, yeah.
And those guys I don't believe should be allowed to practice in this industry, but
– because they get paid a truckload of dollars in commissions, don't they, or not?
Yes. Most insurance products are some of the highest commissionable products available. So that's why you'll see people immediately, banks especially, are big proponents of annuities, because they'll take your CD money that's now earning a fraction of a percent and say, well, we've got this annuity where we can guarantee you 6% or 5% or 4%. And when they make that comparison, oh, it's guaranteed by the insurance company. Oh, okay, that sounds like a great idea. And away their money goes. And now that money's trapped for a period of time where they have to pay big surrender charges to try
well,
to
that's
actually
the
get
thing.
Them.
I had a meeting with a potential client a while ago, and they were older, about 85, and they had 12 annuities already. 12. Yeah.
The most I had seen up until you just said that was 11. I encountered just a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so they go, listen to this. They go, they wanted to like cash some things out and move stuff around, and I spend a lot of time going over what they should do and looking at. So they go to the New York Life guy who was running this to go and, you know, explain what they wanted to do. And then lo and behold, they come back, and I go, okay, so you've cashed out, and what sort of cash are we talking about? No, they bought another annuity. He managed to convince them rather than cash out buy another one. So there's a guy living on the commissions.
Wow. That's what they do.
Yeah.
You need to survive. Okay, when we come back, we will go in and address and talk about bond bubble. What bond bubble? Is there going to be a bond bubble? We'll at least debate it. I don't know if we'll tell you.
No, we've got all the answers.
Dan Osgood filling in for Derek Evans, Mr. Credit. Talk to you in a minute.
If you are considering a short sale or letting your home go to foreclosure, please listen carefully. There are laws in place to protect you and ways that you can get out of a bad real estate situation completely unharmed in almost every single case. But here's the important thing. Time is of the essence. I will help you 100% free on how to handle a short sale or foreclosure on your home while eliminating the damage done to your wallet. But I need you to call as soon as possible so we have all potential options available to you. Okay, this is the key. Call 888-888-0154. It's 888-888-0154, and just leave a message with your contact info and brief synopsis of the situation. That's it. It won't cost you a dime, but could save you a bundle. I don't want you to become one of those horror stories I hear about every day from people who didn't call me until it was too late. I'm doing it for free because it's my job. Let me do my job. Call 888-888-0154 right now for all the information you need to do what's best for you and your family with regard to your real estate. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154.
The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills. Any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235. Or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us. 800-997-1235.
This is Lisa with the McDonald Legal Group. We are a debt relief agency. We help people file for bankruptcy relief under the bankruptcy code.
This is John Feinstein, and this is a CBS Sports Minute. One of the best college football coaches in history announced his retirement on Thursday. Larry Keir has won 11 Division III national titles in 27 years as a coach at the University of Mount Union, including this past season. He had a record of 332-24-3. His winning percentage was .929, the all-time best in history. Second, Newt Rockne at a mere .881. Kyrus is only 63, so if he had chosen to go the Joe Paterno route, almost certainly would have gone well past 500 wins. But he wants to pass the reins to his son, Vince, who is almost exactly the same age that his dad was when he took over the program and, like his father, is a Mount Union graduate. There are very few true dynasties left in sports. Mount Union football is one of them. Here's wishing Vince luck, living up to his father's extraordinary legacy. I'm John Feinstein.
Excuse me, sir.
Hi, what do you need?
Pants in a 44 waist.
Looking for something lace?
No, a 44 waist.
A shoelace?
I need a 44 waist.
We don't carry that size.
What? I won a prize?
No.
Stop shopping in no man's land. There's a better way for bigger men to find clothes. Now open. Visit DestinationXL.com to find a store near you. Destination XL. Big on being better.
Everyone's a winner in the Lots of Loot sweepstakes going on now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Now through May 28th, lucky winners can receive a $50, $100, or $1,000 Visa gift card in the daily drawing, plus $5 instant win prizes and coupons. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. No purchase necessary. See O'ReillySweeps.com for official rules and details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, thank you very much. Little Mariano Rivera intro music. One of the most respected relief pitchers ever. Very nice. Well, welcome back. It's Mr. Credit Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood. I am filling in for Derek while he is out at a conference over the weekend. Sitting in with me is Steve Bick, a just plethora of information that he always shares with us. Bond bubble. Let's talk about that for a minute or two. I know I chat with you with some frequency on your thoughts on rates and markets and global economies. About a week ago, the 10-year Treasury was at 1.66%. Mm-hmm. Looking at it today, 1.9%, which would indicate a sell-off.
Right.
A lot of this is tied to, of course, the stock market has been doing quite well over that same time period. Jobs numbers are a big indicator for a recovering economy, and all the reports have shown a shrinking number, which everyone on the surface looks at and goes, oh, everything is getting better. But I sat in on a webinar earlier this week, and they really touched on these types of topics. And the whole jobs numbers, they really explained how they're basically a bogus number that the government's releasing to us because they don't take into account all the people that are just dropping off, that their 6 months or their time period has run out and they've just given up and stopped looking for a job. So they're still unemployed or underemployed. And so what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I mean, you can't have just that aside. The Federal Reserve can't really let rates spiral higher. Mm-hmm. I mean, firstly, they'd have to service that debt, and that's going to cost
just hundreds of billions
per day
if they let them go up a little bit.
Yeah. But ultimately, what normally happens is rates will start rising when you run out of the capacity constraints of firstly labor and then, of course, your manufacturing capacity. So that's when, because if you think about it, rates go up with inflation, right? So if inflation's benign, then rates shouldn't technically go up.
Which now, inflation's a whole other number that we don't want to dig
too deep
into. It's a whole
separate topic. I'm not going to go down inflation. I'm just telling you what normally drives those things, right? So let's assume the Fed, once again, that's another fictitious number.
Right. Well, we Derek and I talked about that using the Big Mac Index as maybe a more accurate indicator of what real inflation is versus the numbers that are being released, because that's such a big global company. It takes into account travel, gas expenses, real estate, produce, farming, every aspect of the world is involved in the cost of a Big Mac.
Right.
And it was basically growing since the Great Recession ended, supposedly. It's been growing at 5.2% per year.
Well, I think that's probably a good number, actually.
Yeah, that's we were both in agreement that that seemed more accurate than the 2% that they're announcing.
Yeah. So let's just go back to assume that it's at 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what they've got is a benign inflation. So they're going to try their next mantra. So the first thing they've got to do is keep inflation under control. That's the Fed's first mantra. The second thing they've got to do is fix unemployment. Okay? So that's obviously they're failing on the second one big time. Until unemployment reaches some level of capacity, which is called full employment levels, the question is, what is the full employment rate of the United States? It used to be considered to be around 4-4.5%. There's talk now that it's probably closer to 5-5.5%. So let's assume it's 5% is full employment. They've got to try and drive that number from 7.5 down to 5% before they're going to feel like there's any threat of inflation. Because once you get the wages will start having to rise as it gets closer to that number. And then you'll have more demand for products and services because more people are employed. Until that time arrives, and how many years are we into it now? 5-6 years almost into this, trying to get this number down. And it has come down from the peak of about 9.5. They never actually officially said 10 because I think they managed to somehow.
That's, again, one of those numbers.
Yeah.
It's one of those numbers that 10 is all of a sudden a magical.
Oh, magic.
Much worse than 9.9.
Yep. Well, you know, ask anyone that goes shopping. $9.99 is way cheaper than $10.
Absolutely. It's only $9 versus 10.
Exactly. So they managed to keep it below 10. But still, after $2 or $3 trillion of printing money later, we've dropped it from, call it 9.5 to 7.5. So you've dropped it only 2%. So I just don't see the point of this whole story is we're talking about the bond yields. Until that number has a meaningful impact lower, I don't see how that interest rates are going to actually spiral higher. They're just not going to. They're going to keep them contained. And then the other side of it is, and Dan, you and I were talking about this earlier, in terms of our interest rates on a 10-year note, of let's just call it 2%. It's 1.94, but let's just call it 2. In comparison to Switzerland, Germany, and Japan, we're like 4 times what they're paying.
Right. We're actually considered high yield if you're going to compare all of those.
Yeah.
So that should put it into perspective for
they're at 0.5%. And I don't know about any of your listeners out there, but I'll tell you right now, Japan is not low risk.
Right.
I mean, and they've got interest rates at close to 0. Switzerland's another story. Germany is struggling big time.
And even the UK is below the US as well.
Are they really? What are they at?
It's very fractional. The chart I've seen, it's very close, but it's just slightly below.
Okay. But still, and I mean, the UK is no you know, cakewalk either right now. They're struggling left and right with Cameron's trying to cut, you know, auspicious over there. But so the US at 2%, there's absolutely nothing to say considering the level of safety you've got in the country. You've got, if you want to believe, the Dow at 15,000 means that the companies are all making gobs of money, so we're on the road to recovery. If that's the case and everyone else is producing interest rates at way lower and our currency, I just saw right now, which is the next piece of the equation, is getting stronger and stronger because firstly, the euro is still in dire straits. Japan's just basically tossed in the towel with all of their printing. So the yen is at I think it's a 7 or 10 year low against the dollar, or 4 or 5 year low against the dollar. So the Japanese have just tossed in the towel. So where would you, if you're going to invest and you're only going to get 2% and you're a foreigner, you're going to go to the U.S. because you're going to get 2%, but you're also getting an appreciating currency. So you could actually get a 10, 12% rate of return on your investment.
Just on the combination.
On the combination. So for all of that, it's going to attract buyers. I just don't see, you know, maybe if the 10-year peaks its head above 2%, you'll probably get flooded with money.
Right.
Drive it back down.
Which seems to be the cycle. It did work its way up a short time back.
You know, the other interesting thing is, I'm actually writing a book about all of this that maybe someone out there might want to buy when it's finally done. But one of the other interesting things is if you take a 30-year chart of the 10-year note, right? So you just take the yield on the 10-year over 30 years, it's progressively gone lower for 30 years. Not in a straight line. There's peaks and troughs.
So just like the stock market, you're going to see ups and downs here and there, but you can see the general trend in one direction.
It's gone lower and lower and lower. Maybe at some point it'll turn around and break over, but if you just take a look at that chart, for the 10-year to reach 4%, that's like a 5-year, actually more now because what were we back in 2007 where we were at 6%? Or was it 4 or 5? It was 4.5, I think. So, I mean, you back 7, 8 years already just to get to 4%. I mean, that's a major turnaround.
Right, that's an enormous.
And now you've locked your money up for 10 years and you're only getting 4%. Mm-hmm. I mean, you want to talk about a tax on the retired people.
Right, that's the people that are being impacted the most by this low rate environment. It's people that were rolling over their CDs and just living off the interest and living a nice, comfortable life. Now, all of a sudden, instead of 4 or 5%, they're getting a fraction of a percent.
I know.
That all of a sudden makes it very,
and
very
really,
challenging to pay the bills.
Yeah.
Or even, not even to pay the bills. Maybe you've got the bills covered, but you now can't afford to do anything because you have no real income showing for your investment.
No, you're absolutely right, because most people, other than your clients, of course, go in and blindly expect that they go to their financial planner who throws it into this model, and most models spit out, when you retire, your investments will earn 6 to 8%. So therefore, you can live on XYZ. Well, let me tell everyone out there, 6 to 8% in this market environment, unless you're all into stocks, is incredibly tough to get, specifically on a risk basis. When you factor in the risk of the portfolio, if your cash portion or your bond start in part of your portfolio, and as you get older, that'll get bigger and bigger if you want to be safe. If your bond is going to, portfolio is going to be a large portion, to get you to 8, and that's earning 1, to get you to 8, the other 30%'s got to
better
be earning 20.
More risk. Well, we'll continue to discuss this when we come back. Once again, it's the Mr. Credit Lunch Hour. I'm Dan Osgood with Free Investment Audit, sitting in for Derek while he's out of town, and Steve Bick is joining me in the studio as well.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com, or text the word audit to 84444. According to the Government Accountability Office, over 70% of people have errors on their credit report. And let me tell you, these errors are not helping your credit score. They are hurting it. Hi, Mr. Credit here. Look, the fact is, credit repair can work, but it's just too expensive for most people to be able to afford it. That's why I'm excited to tell you about a nonprofit company that has a flat fee credit repair system for only $4.99 per person. If you or anyone you know wants to improve their credit, just call the Credit Repair Helpline and speak with an expert for free today. 800-525-1349. That's 1-800-525-1349. Don't let the banksters and credit bureaus win the battle of destroying your credit so they can make a profit. Fight back today. Call 1-800-525-1349. That's 1-800-525-1349.
Welcome to Sears Auto Center, sir. This way to the parlor.
You mean the lobby?
No, sir, that's the foyer. Shall I ring the valet?
Nah, I already parked.
Right.
Butlers would make tire shopping fancy, but they wouldn't make it better. Better is Sears Auto Center, with online scheduling, extended hours, and top brands like DieHard and the Mighty Road Handler. Buy three, get one free on Goodyear Eagle GTs and up to $80 in mail-in rebate on eligible Goodyear tires. This is convenience. This is Sears Auto Center. Offer ends 5/18. Free tire and vehicle with lesser value. Rebate ends 6/1. Rebate ranges from $40 to $80. Installation required. See store for details.
Terry Bradshaw here. In football, you can't win without a strong team backing you up. Today, I'm talking to Kevin, a licensed plumber, about how the team over at Ferguson, the leader for plumbing, waterworks, and HVAC supplies, gives him a winning edge.
Ferguson makes it easy. I order my supplies online and pick them up at my local branch or have everything delivered.
Plus, your online orders earn points for cool stuff like electronics and event tickets.
Yeah, ordering online saves me time, too.
You heard the man. Go check out ProPlus at Ferguson.com.
Nice choice. I know Steve loves this.
Absolutely.
Welcome back. It's the Mr. Credit Lunch Hour. I'm Dan Osgood with FreeInvestmentAudit.com, filling in for Derek. Sitting with me is Steve Bick, and we've been discussing the bond bubble. Is there a bond bubble? Will there be a bond bubble? Or is it just additional hype that we're used to, sensationalism in the media, making up news?
Well, the interesting thing about the bond bubble, let's just talk about just the word bubble. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bond market has been around this level for 5 years.
I've mentioned that a few times with Derek, that they've been talking about the bond bubble for 5 years now. So if they continue to talk about it, eventually they'll be right and they'll say, see, told you.
Yep.
But when is that?
I know people that have been shorting that thing forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, and hasn't happened yet. I'm not saying that interest rates aren't going to go up. They've got to go up at some point. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind it has to happen at some point. But it's been relatively controlled, and you're fighting against the Federal Reserve, who's going to try their best to keep interest rates low.
Right.
I mean, if interest rates spike to 12% tomorrow or 10%, goodbye property market. You know, goodbye the bond, the Dow and all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's gone. I mean, the people that would be happy will be people sitting on cash that would then be able to lock in 10% for 30-year
note. Go buy a 10 or 20-year,
yeah,
probably a 30-year even non-callable treasury if that existed.
Exactly.
I would.
Okay, so you're the financial planner. At what point would you say to your clients, we need to take advantage of this interest rate?
It's a case-by-case basis. Global answer.
But just, I mean, back of the envelope type thing where, you know, at some point there's an interest rate where you go, okay, we should probably think about locking this in here and now. I mean, 2% is obviously not really going to make a difference to a person, but would it be 4, 5, 6 in that range somewhere?
Since I got into this industry back in 95, the highest I remember them was just barely over 6%.
Okay, so
entire career. And it seemed like at that point people were pretty comfortable with those numbers in that 5.5% to 6% with a virtually riskless type investment where treasuries, even some tax-frees, AAA-rated tax-frees were paying 6% range.
Okay, cool. So let's assume that if the 10-year got to 5%, I mean,
if the 10-year got to 5%, what are you saying the 30s at?
Okay, no, you're talking about the 30. Okay, well, so the 30s at 5%. Sorry, excuse me. 30s at 5%, right? Which means the 10-year's at about 3.5%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people, not that you're going to go all in, but the financial planning world, investors out there sitting on cash are going to start looking, going, this is about the best rate, as you say, we've seen in how long, 10 years or so?
15, 20 years.
Okay, so we better take advantage of this.
Knocking on the door of those.
Yeah. So what does that do? There's suddenly a massive demand for those bonds. The yield gets
pounded. Pushes it right back down again.
That's what I'm just saying. People who are expecting this yield to go up anywhere north of, on the 10-year, 3 or 3.5, I just don't see it happening for age, decade maybe.
Well, one of the interesting parts of this webinar I sat in on, there's all this talk of all this mass outflow and all the money's moving into the equity markets. And it, they showed a chart that even this year, and granted this maybe has changed in the last week because there's never a chance they can have the up-to-the-minute info.
Fair enough, yeah.
But bond funds still have the highest inflow of money this year, just ridiculously upside down last year. It was just insane amounts of money going into bonds.
Last year?
In 2012. 2011, the same thing, where it was actually negatives for the last 3 years, 2012, 2011, 2010. There was more money coming out of the equity markets than going in, and all that money was transitioning to bonds or cash.
Now, I'm surprised, firstly, because you hear a lot of hype about everyone's pulling their money out of bonds to go into stocks, and that's obviously, based on this statistic, is clearly not the case.
Right. It's, again, let's make it up and sensationalize things. Maybe they're taking a snapshot so they can say, yes, see, look, and maybe that's a one-week period when the market was really rallying or something like that. I don't know. That's why I'm always really skeptical when I see any kind of reports from a media source saying, oh, look, this is what's happening. This is what you need to do. Let's peel back a couple layers and see the facts and then make some decisions.
So if people are going into bonds, there's obviously a lack of faith to some degree in the stock market and probably also some form of that demographic shift that you and I have discussed. As people get older, they need to start allocating more and more of their portfolio to more safety.
Right. Income-producing items.
It's hard to put income-producing in the same sentence as a bond these days, but, yeah, that is the idea, right?
Well, yeah, and that's kind of one of the scary parts of this whole low-rate environment, and I've read a lot of articles recently about that. People are looking anywhere and everywhere for yield, which is now adding risk to a portfolio that maybe shouldn't be there. It kind of reminds me of the subprime market and how out of control it got. People looked at those as, well, we've never had any real issues. These are ironclad, and they were buying these securitizations up like crazy when the lending habits were getting out of control, and that's what caused a lot of the problems, was adding unnecessary risk because there was nothing else out there yielding what those subprime mortgages were.
But that's where it really gets amusing to me, where you hear the jockeys that are spurring on the stock market, and they'll throw out, well, just invest in stocks because you can get a 3-5% yield on certain stocks. And I mean,
the dividend
yield. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but yet you've got the risk of that stock getting pulverized. I mean, if they cut that dividend, that stock's going to get pulverized, and they've got all the risk associated with a potential, a stock that is doing well now because the stock market, all boats are rising. What happens when the bottom falls out? Your 3-4% yield you're getting out of the stock is just decimated.
Right. If you drop 20% on the price of the stock, okay, maybe your 3% dividend you collected for a year, so now you're only down 17%.
Yeah, exactly.
If you want to draw those straight lines.
No, I mean, on the flip side, when the market just fell to pieces back in 07 and 08, I put a number of my clients into some dividend plays because at the yield then had spiked to like 10-11% because the stocks had been pulverized so badly. Well, now those stocks have recovered and the yield's down to like – actually, some of them are still like 6-7% because with that, they recovered and they're still managing to pay a high dividend. But they're up over 100% in terms of return on the stock, and they're still getting 10% return on their money on an annual basis on that original investment. So that's a great investment, but that just doesn't exist right now.
Right.
I mean, you have to time these things. Not that I'm a proponent of market timing, but – there are certain points in time where it's a no-brainer investment.
It's kind of a strategic take advantage of an opportunity when it arises, which is a big part of planning and having money set aside
for
opportunities.
But back to this bond bubble thing, as you say, people are just scratching all over the place to try and find yield. I mean, the banks are going into – they're buying –
the bank loans, that's one of the biggest inflows in the ETF market is people are flooding money into these bank loan ETFs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How scary is that? And what are those collateral by? Credit cards?
Yeah, it's all
– it has to be. That's the only way you're going to get yield, right?
Mm-hmm. I saw that, and that was another panic button for me.
Well, remember we chatted about those structured notes. And, people that might be a little bit advanced, but a structured note is essentially an investment you put in, and the reason they can pay you 7-8% return on your money is because what you've done is sold a whole bunch of puts, i.e. that they're betting the market will continue to rally. And then the coupon that you get paid is the premium you get from the puts. Well, if and when the market turns around and capitulates, you get the market given to you.
Right. Yeah, you lose.
And, you lose as much as the market goes down.
Right.
You have a buffer.
You have a controlled kind of limited upside,
yes,
but total unlimited downside.
Correct.
Where you can lose every penny.
But it gives you supposedly 7% yield on your money.
And I've seen those sold as giving peace of mind and good
Correct.
Security behind.
That makes me sick because mm-hmm. I've seen people sell those as almost a risk-free cash-style investment. And I've also watched the same investors lose 50% of their money. Hmm. Now, as you say correctly, you're maxing out at 7 points
right.
on an annual basis. But
the
they've given back 50.
Right. What was the market up last year? 16%?
Yeah.
So you got 7% with the possibility of losing everything.
Correct.
Where you'd have been just as well off buying the index, but go buy a S&P 500 ETF and
Correct.
Be better off, participate 100%.
No, exactly
way.
Right. I mean, or, you know, you come to my product, but I can't unfortunately yeah. talk about that. But, I mean, yeah, but there's absolutely, you've got to be very, very careful. And that's really the idea behind our show that we're planning on putting together is to explain to everyone out there what is going on and how you really need to be careful of these really slick salespeople
right.
that are going to put you into a product that pays them a high commission and ultimately could lose you a small fortune.
And this is the information age. There's information about everything out there. It's confusing sometimes, but almost always you can find enough information to make a good informed decision on whether it's a good idea or not when someone tries to get you to buy something.
Or just call you.
Right.
I mean, seriously, it doesn't cost anything, right?
That's a big part of why Derek has a show. That's why we created freeinvestmentaudit.com so we can sit down and help people make those decisions, look at what they have, see what it's costing them, see how much risk they're taking.
Right.
And I've come from the broker-dealer world. I know how they do their business, and there's a lot of conflicts of interest and a lot of hidden fees that people are paying that they're just unaware. They think, okay, my money's invested. Everything's good. I'm not paying anything from that point on. And the reality is in many cases they're paying upwards of 2% for just the privilege of holding their assets at some firm.
And now just to put that into perspective, you go, oh, 2%, that's not a big deal. Well, that's what you're getting a total yield on the 10-year treasury.
Yeah.
So, I mean, seriously, if you're paying 2%,
right,
you're earning nothing.
Correct.
So,
and there
I
are
mean,
probably
seriously,
cases.
I mean, to validate your point, in this environment we're in, everyone needs to really be penny pinchers because
right.
it's so hard to make a dollar in this market unless you've just blindly thrown your money into the Dow and you've happened to have crossed 15,000, at which point you're at serious risk of a turnaround. But if you actually want to be conservative and invest your money with limited downside, if you aren't a coupon clipper, penny pincher, you're not making any money.
Right.
A percent here, a percent there, you're essentially not making anything.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we'll discuss what are some of the possible options available to people in this type of an environment, then also talk about some of our high-ranking, publicly appointed officials and some of the decisions they make. It's Mr. Credit Lunch Hour. Dan Osgood from Free Investment Audit, filling in for Derek. Talk to you soon.
Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829. 404-694-6829. If you are considering a short sale or letting your home go to foreclosure, please listen carefully. There are laws in place to protect you and ways that you can get out of a bad real estate situation completely unharmed in almost every single case. But here's the important thing. Time is of the essence. I will help you 100% free on how to handle a short sale or foreclosure on your home while eliminating the damage done to your wallet. But I need you to call as soon as possible so we have all potential options available to you. Okay, this is the key. Call 888-888-0154. It's 888-888-0154, and just leave a message with your contact info and brief synopsis of the situation. That's it. Won't cost you a dime, but could save you a bundle. I don't want you to become one of those horror stories I hear about every day from people who didn't call me until it was too late. I'm doing it for free because it's my job. Let me do my job. Call 888-888-0154 right now for all the information you need to do what's best for you and your family with regard to your real estate. 888-888-0154. That's 888-888-0154.
Shop dollar stretching deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts for big savings on Interdynamics R134a refrigerant with leak sealer for $14.99. Get cool air fast with Interdynamics R134a refrigerant with leak sealer on sale for $14.99 during the dollar stretching deal sale at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Need an excuse to give a Buffalo Wild Wings gift card? Here are a few of our favorites. Birthdays, half-birthdays, anniversaries, Labor Day, You're in Labor Day, Arbor Day, Dia de los Donuts, International Skeptics Day, Opposite Day, Dress Up Your Pet Day, Squirrel Appreciation Day, National Nothing Day, Holiday Party Day, Morning After the Holiday Party Day, Clean Your Refrigerator Day, Be Late for Something Day.
And don't forget about dads and grads. Right now, buy $30 in gift cards and get a $5 bonus. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. Valid in restaurant only for a limited time while supplies last.
Para resultados y más información acerca de este programa, consultar la página espnradio1700.com.
Adam, you're doing a fantastic job on the music today. We appreciate it. Welcome back. It's Mr. Credit Lunch Hour. I am Dan Osgood with freeinvestmentaudit.com. Sitting here in the studio with me today is Steve Bick. We've been discussing a number of topics. One thing that I know Derek has talked about very briefly when I was on with him was an issue that I found really offensive, not just for the timing of it, but the fact that they're even doing this, is our illustrious leaders on the day of the bombing in Boston. They quietly readdressed and repassed a bill allowing themselves the ability to act on inside information and insider trading, which how many cases over the years have there been where they have really laid the hammer down on people? Martha Stewart, for example, many, many big companies have paid enormous fines for insider trading violations, yet these guys voted to give themselves free rein to do that whenever and however they want. That seems okay to you, doesn't it, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. Very reasonable. Yeah. You know, they don't have any inside information to begin with, so it doesn't
matter.
No, they
don't have any contacts in any big company.
I mean, seriously, you think back to the days of invading Iraq and that, and Halliburton wins all the contracts, and, you know, the vice president is pretty much owns Halliburton.
Right.
I mean, come on, for goodness sake. Not that it doesn't happen in other parts of the world, but you expect that out of China and Russia and places like that.
Right.
I mean, it's like, come on.
Not here, not
yeah.
here.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, it makes me sick where they're sort of, I mean, it's really above the law. We can just print as much money as we want for whatever reason and not pay taxes on it.
Right.
I just don't get it. We're trying to balance a budget. That's one of the biggest problems we've got is the amount of money we're spending every year. And we're trying to raise taxes on everybody, but suddenly they get a tax break.
Right.
I mean, come on. They should be the first person. I mean, when I was in the Army, the lieutenants and the high-ranking officers ate last if there was any food left. You made sure your troops were fed. I mean, those were the guys in the front line, right? And I think this should be the same. If they raise taxes 10% on the average person, Joe, out there that's struggling to even find a job, maybe they should triple it over at Congress.
Right. Yeah, you know? 'Cause they're entitled to vote themselves raises every year. So.
Exactly. With our money.
Right. Yeah, it's just our money they're taking.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, that's just ridiculous. And it's just so open to manipulation, you know, because who actually qualifies under them? I mean, is it a broad umbrella or is it just a Congress?
Is there a friends and family aspect
exactly.
to that, which more than likely it is?
Right. And if you happen to work there or, you know, you hear something, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you're right, it's sickening.
Yeah.
It doesn't help. I mean, one of the biggest problems in all the polls you see is the fact that the leadership is already being questioned, not just here, but around the globe. I mean, to me, there's a leadership vacuum around the world. There's just no leader that stepped up to the plate and said, this is how we're going to repair
right.
things.
Someone that can rally the troops and say, look, this is our situation.
Right.
This is what we're going to do to address it and try to fix it. We need everybody on the same page and actually get people to rally behind that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you think about rallying the troops. You know, it's normally you got the guy on the white horse with the sword and the shield, and he's like, follow me, I'm going in, and everyone rushes behind him, you know. In this case, it's all like, you guys go, and if you manage to get all the bad guys, I'll just wander over.
Yeah, I'll, you know? Meet, you on the other, I'll meet you on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Right.
So
basically, in summary, from some of the topics we talked about, your advice is probably go travel abroad because your money's going to go further, correct?
Yeah, if you're going to retire, go to Panama or somewhere. Yeah.
Go now while the dollar is strong.
Yeah. It
should be for a while. But with these situations, low rate environment, stock market seemingly endlessly going up, what are some of the things people can do?
I mean, seriously, it's not like every stock in the market's gone up. As an example, and I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm a gold bug by any stretch of the imagination, but if you just take an analysis of gold, and yes, I know it, you can't do anything with it, you can't eat it and all the rest of it, but every central bank in the world has a pile of gold, a stockpile of gold, for the simple reason that we came off the gold standard and it's always had an intrinsic value that's been loosely tied to the amount of currency that's floating around out in the world. Everyone's printing more and more money, which means that the value of gold should be appreciating. So recently, for those of you that follow the market, gold was just pounded. I mean, absolutely.
You're right.
Just like killed.
20%+ yeah. one day.
To me, it was a speculative attack on the metal by the stock guys just because they just hate gold. It's like gold's right. meaningless. You should pile your money into stocks.
Well, it really has only been an indicator of fear over history.
Yeah, fear and when inflation really hits. And, you know, in theory, you don't really have much of that around, but it's still also still loosely tied to these dollars because that'll ultimately result in inflation at some point. But you take just a look at the gold stocks. I mean, the GDXJ went from basically $30-odd dollars a share, and it's 12 today. I mean, to me, that's one of those things where a lot of the risk of a gold investment's been taken off the table. You know, you're going to get a decent yield on that as well. So that type of investment I would look at. Mm-hmm. Now, do you want to buy Google that's trading at some ridiculous multiple on numbers that they keep missing and fudging because they got a tax break? You know, that's just crazy to me. So I'm not saying that the stock market's off the table, but just be very careful where you go. And outside of that, you know, you need to look at things that can provide you safety and yield. I would just say in this market environment, try and get to safety as best as you can. Look around in your backyard type idea where if you've got credit card debt at 12%, why the heck are you paying that if you're sitting on cash?
Right. You know, pay that like off, that. You're basically paying yourself 12%.
Yeah. If you've got a mortgage on your house, that's, let's say you got an older one and you know it's at 5 or 6%, pay that down faster.
Right. Yeah. Well, Derek has talked about it recently. That's kind of one of the things that nobody's really addressing is that's one of the best opportunities out here. Not buying a new house because prices are cheap. Take advantage of the refi opportunity. The values have now appreciated, so now maybe you do qualify to refi when a year ago you didn't because the values weren't in line.
Yeah, and then another way to make some money, which is actually relatively good if you've got a decent stock portfolio and it's quite widely diversified and you plan on just holding it, you could maybe sell some calls on there. You know, sure, it might kick you out of a few positions, but the yield's great. And so if you get kicked out, you can always just put them back on. You know, I mean, people can make some money off that if you're not going to sell. You know, you're just stuck right. in there. But there are ways, but you have to be really skillful and you have to have someone, a person, a planner or someone like that who can really hold your hand through those types of strategies. Mm-hmm. It's not something that the average person should jump into. But
well,
you know.
I see the ads every day. You can do it on ScottTrade pretty easily.
Oh, you can? Okay, good.
they make it sound pretty simple.
Yeah, so I mean, there are ways around this. As I say, I'm not a massive – I mean, I really am bullish on gold for the long term. It's obviously very, very volatile. Properties, depending where you live. I mean, what's the real estate market up here in San Diego, 18% or something?
I think I heard 26% year over year.
How crazy is that?
Right. That's a pretty straight up – that reminds me of 05, 06.
Yeah.
And that's a scary event.
Yeah. I mean, you don't jump on a bandwagon like that.
Right.
You've got to sometimes be patient. Sometimes cash is a really good investment.
Right.
It's way better to hold on to your dollar than take that dollar and tear it in half and give half away or flush it down the toilet with a poor investment.
Hopefully you'll meet up with the person that finds the other half in the future.
Yeah, exactly right.
Make it a dollar again.
Yeah, well, but I mean, I would just, if you don't have a really top-notch idea, it would be far better to just sit it out or wait until an idea shows up or continue doing research or come to a personal advisor like yourself to get ideas of what's out there. Because for the average person, I mean, it's probably one of the scariest. I've been in the market for over 30 years of my life, and this is one of the scariest markets I've ever seen, ever. It's just setting up for a major catastrophe.
That's Steve Bick we're hearing from. Again, one of the most biggest wealth of knowledge I've probably ever spoken with regarding markets and global markets. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there this weekend. It's a big time.
That's right.
And notice to all the men out there, if you have not done anything about it, this is almost a final warning. You better get out there.
And my son, he'd better have his act together.
Yeah, you better take him out when he gets home. It's Dan Osgood, freeinvestmentaudit.com, filling in for the Mr. Credit Radio Show. Have a great weekend.